Welcome to the Beyond Sunday at WMPC podcast. Today, you'll hear pastoral intern Emily Alexander and former pastor for outreach Gloria Johnson. They'll be discussing the seventh question in our eight-week summer podcast series titled Hard Questions, Faithful Responses. If Jesus is the only way, what about my friends from other faiths? Emily and Gloria break it all down.
Well, I'm so excited to be here today, and my name is Emily Alexander. I'm the pastoral intern here at White Memorial this summer, and was chatting with y'all on last week's episode of the podcast. And today we also have Gloria Johnson with us today, and I'd love to hear more about you, Gloria.
I'm Gloria Johnson, past associate minister for outreach. I was here 30 years, and I enjoyed every minute of it, and just as excited every day to come to work as I was the first day. I retired about a year ago, and this is my first time kind of back in front of a microphone.
Yes, I'm so glad to, ever since I've got here, Gloria, I keep hearing stories about your work, and every time I have certain questions, people are like, Gloria would be a great person for you to chat
Thank
with
you.
About that.
Thank you, I think.
So I'm so grateful we get to have this conversation. Yeah, so our question that we're diving into today in this hard question series is, if Jesus is the only way, what about our friends from other faiths? And I'm really interested in this question because I've spent the last 4 to 5 years working in Jewish spaces, and my own faith has been really enriched learning from my Jewish friends and a rabbi I work with at Duke and other folks. And so I've really wrestled with this question myself. And so I'm really excited to chat with you about it, Gloria.
Well, thank you. I did have an opportunity to work with a variety of faiths and traditions in my role in outreach. Mm-hmm. And I certainly learned a lot from those experiences. So mm-hmm. I'm glad to be here to kind of investigate this a little bit. I did bring something for us to look at, though.
Oh, okay.
Yes,
what
even
is that?
Though you can't see it at home, I have a t-shirt.
Oh, well, we can describe it.
It is a blue t-shirt. It is from Habitat, and it's the most amazing t-shirt. On the back, it has the golden rule, and every faith that you can possibly imagine has the same golden rule. And I think that that's a good place to kind of think about things when we start thinking about people of other faith, to look for the things that we agree upon and then kind of go from there. And I'll just read you an example. From the Buddhist faith, one should seek for others the happiness one desires for oneself. From Hindu, treat others as you would treat yourself. Islam, none of you believe until he wishes for his brother what he wishes for himself. And the Sikh, as you deem for yourself, deem others as well. And from the Unitarian Universalist, do unto others as they would want done unto them. So, and in Confucius, if one strives to treat others as he would be treated by them, he will come near the perfect life. So that's one thing that we can all kind of agree on. Everybody has this basic rule as to how we should treat other people. And that doesn't say anything about if they believe like we do or anything like that. It just says this is what we need to do. Mm-hmm. And if we start with that principle, I think so many other things can come into focus and play out in ways that are nourishing and beneficial and certainly grow our knowledge. So I hope that helps for you to understand a little bit about the way that I think about other faiths.
Absolutely.
Is that we all believe some of the basic things, mm-hmm. and to be open about the things that we may not already know about another faith tradition, to ask questions. But I think the most important thing to do before you start asking about other faiths is to know about your own. And that would be, why you believe what you believe. And mm-hmm. if you were to write a elevator speech for 2 minutes, what would you say to other people? What would they learn from what you could say? So I think to, before we begin to question other faiths or to, you know, seek dialogue, certainly we need to know about our own and what we believe.
I love that point, especially because as I've done interfaith, started to dip my toes into interfaith work, and people ask me questions, I suddenly am like, oh, how do I respond to this? Because I think I'm someone who's been raised in the church, and I think when we're raised in a Christian kind of, you know, in the South, there's a lot of people are churched and a lot of people understand the basics of Christianity to a level. And I think then when you engage with people from other faiths, it's like, oh, you have to think about our own beliefs from a different perspective and how to explain it. And I think I love that the series of the podcast is really dealing with some of these questions on the things that we believe, so people can dig deeper into the tenets of our faith. And so I love that thought of understanding what you believe in the Christian tradition first. And then also I had no idea all those different traditions have very similar to the Golden Rule. That was a new learning for me. And yes, starting on those points where we overlap or have similarities as starting points for conversation in dialogue. Yeah, thank you for sharing that. That's a new thought for me.
Well, I have used this t-shirt in a variety of formats, mm-hmm. and so I pulled it out again today thinking, okay, this is just so appropriate, mm-hmm. You know, for our conversations. And for me, not only to know about your faith, you need to appreciate your own faith, mm-hmm. and learn, you know, find out about other faiths and appreciate what they believe in the different areas that may be, you know, different from what we believe. Mm-hmm. I think there's something to be learned, and I have found over the years that people do appreciate if you ask with sincerity,
yes.
and they try to answer the best that they can,
mm-hmm.
what they believe. Mm-hmm. You know, they are in that point challenged as well, mm-hmm. and they respect that. They respect that very much. And I do know that also when I've been in the context, you said you had your Jewish connections. I too have had those locally. Mm-hmm. Certainly I've been to the Holy Land, but I had an opportunity to spend a couple of weeks in Turkey, which is certainly engrossed in, mm-hmm. You know, Islam.
Mm-hmm.
And I found nothing but kindness,
mm-hmm.
and hospitality,
mm-hmm.
and willingness to share and be open. And the conversations that we had were more about practical things. You know, how do you do this in your home? How do you parent this way? It was, mm-hmm. never really major conversations about, you know, what are the tenets of your faith or, mm-hmm. whatever. There may be conversations that came up,
mm-hmm.
but in ways that we could talk about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if we start spouting theology to somebody, it's going to be hard for them to understand.
Yes.
But if I can say, gosh, one of my tenets is that we treat others like we want to be treated, I understand that's true in yours.
Mm-hmm.
There's just so much opportunity and so much richness, not only theologically, but in cultural and,
mm-hmm.
You know, in friendship. We just have to be so open to that.
Yes.
And, you know, what we believe to be true is true for us.
Yes.
And I have never found in my experience people from other faiths that did not respect that.
Mm-hmm.
I have found more people from other Christian beliefs,
yes.
that don't accept my belief,
mm-hmm.
more so than I have from other faiths.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, to be people that wanted to evangelize to me were much more offensive,
mm.
than somebody from another faith that, mm-hmm. that we respected each other.
Yes.
I've had much more, I guess, negative conversations you know, just negative,
yeah.
feelings when somebody tries to change my faith or, mm-hmm. make me think like they do.
Mm. Yeah, maybe convince you to have a particular kind of Christianity.
Yes.
Yes. And I really appreciated what you shared about this sense of curiosity with our friends from other faiths, because I think coming from, like, in America, more Christian dominant culture, sometimes we have assumptions about what Muslims believe, what Jews believe. And I think I've also just found such richness in asking these just curious questions. And I had an experience where when I moved to Durham to start at Duke Divinity, the apartment complex I moved into my first week, I met a postdoc from India. And he was really lonely, and he was struggling to, he's like, it's so remote from any place to, we're off campus, and he said, there's no hub to hang out with people. How do I meet people? Where do people go to meet people outside of school or work? And I said, with a friend, we're like, well, some people go to church, or some people go to bars, or some people go these different places to find community. But I often find my community in church. And he's like, oh, well, can I come to church with you? And he was Hindu. And I was like, well, sure, if you want to come to church with me. And I hadn't found a church yet in Durham. So he church visited with me for a whole semester as I was trying to find a church home. And I had not seen church through somebody's fresh eyes or perspective until I was visiting with him, and to see him experience welcome in different communities and how different churches welcomed him or maybe didn't as much, and would always be like asking him about his faith. And he said, oh, I'm just here to visit. I'm not Christian. And it was so interesting to engage and see him really eager to learn from me. And I realized I've not often been as eager to learn about other faiths and just like hear what they have to share. But
absolutely, and we have had many people in this congregation may remember when we held the High Holy Days with our Jewish community. We let them use our space because they were under construction.
Wow.
And they actually came and worshiped in our sanctuary.
Wow.
And that was a really meaningful time for mm-hmm. so many people. They had it set up with the Torah in front with the curtains, and I was there.
Okay.
And I was sitting with someone, and they said, gosh, if I were Christian, I would come here. So that was kind of a nice testament to that. And also sitting in that service, they were reading the Old Testament. I did not feel out of place, not one little bit. Mm-hmm. You would probably not even have recognized the fact that it was a Jewish service in a lot of respects. Mm. But we did earn, I think, respect from our neighbors that they understood that we did several things like that, had services for other faiths while there. Yes. Congregations were under construction, so we learned a lot.
Oh, I love that spirit of welcome and collaboration with other faith communities.
Yeah, it was a great time of growth.
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely. Yeah, so kind of we've just covered so much ground already, I feel like, and I was doing a bit of reading, because as folks know, I shared it in the last episode, I'm not from a Presbyterian tradition, and so I've been digging more into the Presbyterian tradition during my internship here this summer. And so I was doing a bit of reading on this perspective, on this topic from the Presbyterian perspective, and I think that this was a newer point for me. I was reading a book by the scholar Donald K. McKim, and he talks about Presbyterians should always maintain that who is saved is decided solely by God. This is basic theology. God is free. God is free to give salvation to whomever God chooses. And I just came away from that thinking, wow, sometimes in different parts of my life, I've been so nervous or stressed about, do folks know God, and how do folks know God, and how much do we have to evangelize? And I just feel like very different denominations have different perspectives on that. But this has such a sense of confidence that God is, God is the one who gives salvation. And I somehow found this point really freeing or restful to remember it comes back to God. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Well, I think even if you, as I mentioned, the golden rule of other faiths, you would probably find a little bit of that in all of those as well.
Yeah,
it's always pretty much the idea of a higher power of some of some kind, mm-hmm. or some idea other and beyond ourselves. So I think the more we were to look into that, we would even find more similarities than we would if you looked, if you lined them all up and had similarities. I think the list would be a whole lot longer than those of things that we do not agree on. And you know, you have to decide, are the things you disagree on the things that are going to set the pace for the relationship in the future, or is it the things that are similar? And you know, most of the time, you know, you're going to enjoy the relationship. And when you think about it in real life, how often do you really talk about religion to your friends? You could be in a room with 20 different people from every faith in the world, and you could probably have great conversations. Because we all have the same love is going to stand out in all of those. You know, love of family, love of those that we care about, and the wonders of nature, and higher, something bigger than ourselves. And you know, we could probably put a list up on the board of all the things you know, that we believe in, and we, you know, differ on, and I think we would probably all be amazed at the things that we agree on. And when politics, like anything else, starts being political or financial or all the other things, that's when it gets to be controversial. So many times it's not the fact that, you know, what we too believe, it's what I think culturally or politically or whatever. And we use that religion or use our faith as an excuse for that. That, you know, I'm supposed to do this because I believe this, and you're wrong because I believe this. And, you know, we can, any of us can use religion to our benefit, of course, but we can also use it to explain our really bad actions. A lot of time there's been a lot of war fought over religion, which in concept most religions would not condone the idea of violence, but at the same time that's the case. A lot of wars have been fought over you know, beliefs.
Yeah, absolutely. That's just so interesting to think about. Just thinking about that list, that more on the similarities than on the differences, and that separating out what is it that we that's about our faith, and then what is us using maybe our faith to dictate culture or respond to culture. Yeah, I'm new to meditate on that. I think we just see that so often. In our country.
Well, I think we just have to be open and be honest. Be honest about the way you feel, the way you think, and not put on a show or try to be something that you're not. Everybody appreciates authenticity. Even if they don't agree with it. Rather than just kind of saying something that you don't believe, you know, even if they think you're, you know, in their mind, you're wrong, they appreciate the authenticity of what you say and the honesty with which you speak it. So I think if we can kind of let that be a focus a little bit, that would certainly be helpful. And to share stories. Gosh, what a huge thing to share stories. And again, that brings up those similarities.
Absolutely. I love that. I think you were speaking to having integrity when we having, you know, honesty about our thoughts and what we believe, and having integrity in that. And then, yeah, stories are just so powerful. Stories are so powerful to communicate with other folks, whether it's about faith or what we believe about God or our fears or our questions. Stories are just a very powerful way to connect with people and learn from others.
And just, you know, it's kind of something for me that I learned through outreach is when you have faiths come together to do something together, that's when you really see the similarities that yeah. we're all, you know, a Habitat House building a wall. They have interfaith days and everybody just kind of comes and, you know, different people bring food. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of those outreach opportunities and those chances to get out and serve with other faiths mm-hmm. that you get an opportunity to teach by example and not necessarily explanation
yes.
that, you know, here's what we believe and we're all here doing it together. I don't have to say anything.
Yes.
I yeah. simply have to do and I have to be and we're doing that together. Mm-hmm. We don't have to, you know, have any deep conversations about that mm-hmm. because that's within in each of us.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. That sounds so beautiful. Interfaith work days at Habitat. Yeah. Oh, well, yeah. Well, this was such a good conversation. And did you have any final thoughts that we haven't touched on? Or?
Well, I think as far as final thoughts, you know, I'm not sure that we answered anything absolutely directly because I'm not sure it can be answered directly mm-hmm. in that what God's intent is for all people. We do not know that.
Yeah.
We do know that God intends for us to love one another, to help mm-hmm. one another. We do know that that's God's intent. Mm-hmm. And anything bigger or higher than that, it is known,
yeah.
but it is not known by us.
Yes, yes. And I love that point. And we touched on this verse in the last episode, but in Colossians scripture talking about God reconciling all things in Christ and how God desires. I don't know. I just find so much rest and assurance that God wants all humanity to know God and how, you know, all the details of that. Yeah, God knows. And so,
well, thank you for having me today. It's been a pleasure. I haven't been around the church much in the last year. I've missed seeing people, but I've been quite busy with babysitting and doing a variety of things. So this has given me an opportunity to think theologically for a little while about some things I hadn't thought of in several months. So thank you for the opportunity.
Oh, wonderful. Well, thank you for being with us.
Thank you for listening to the Beyond Sunday at WMPC Podcast. Be sure to tune in next time on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or whitememorial.org to hear Pastor and Head of Staff Christopher Edmonston and Associate Pastor for Discipleship and Adult Faith Formation Greer Booker Richards tackle the final question in our series. Are we supposed to be talking about this in church, faith, and politics?